Yeah. Radio.
The Blockbuster Show, ladies and gentlemen.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is Dr. Dre.
Yeah. Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Oh, yeah, ladies and gentlemen, we're coming with it tonight.
Yes, sir.
Let's go. L.A., stand up.
I've never been a Lakers fan, but I want to hear from y'all tonight.
Yes, sir.
Y'all know y'all been the biggest LeBron haters.
We in the building. You stop with your rival out there.
Oh,
we in the
man.
Building.
Hey,
let's go.
We in the building. Yeah, I know y'all been the biggest LeBron haters.
We in the building, man. Son. We in the building.
Hey, guys. We are officially talking sports from the 12th man. I got to say, happy Bobby Bonilla Day, first and foremost. You know, just want to throw that out there.
Oh, come
you know,
on, man. Keep it moving.
Every year, Bobby
hey,
Bonilla
gets no, $1.2
million.
I know, yeah. Right?
He like Bruce
Lee. My Yankees kicking that Red Sox ass. That's how we like to do it. 11-0.
Uh-oh.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, they are.
See?
They acting up.
We got to talk about this today, man, because, again, the Lakers coming through, signing.
They signing.
Contavious Caldwell-Pope. What? Yes. That's what I'm talking
and
about.
And Lance Stevens.
And Lance Stevens. Hey. Sneaky signing.
Oh,
love it.
Oh, and by the way, they got LeBron James as well. Hey, we're talking about 12 man. Let's kick this off here. I guess I would have to almost set up with JQ, but I mean, I don't know where else we could go, JQ, with how you feel. He jumped in the call. He was all like, yeah. What's up, JQ? Right,
oh, man, listen, I am over the moon. You know, I just don't even know where to start with this analysis. We might not even get to about four topics for real. Because this is just crazy. This swings the pendulum. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, again, I'm not saying Lakers go win the title because that's not true. That's currently constructed. Mm-hmm. So I want to just make sure everybody knows I'm objective. I'm not ridiculous. Mm-hmm. It puts us in the conversation, but it doesn't mean they win the title. But, oh, man, you're talking about a good first step going back to respectability. I can't be happier.
Rob, how you feeling?
Well, I mean, obviously, this is I tell you what, the TV networks have got to be ecstatic with this move. I mean, you're getting the Lakers, you're getting LeBron James, you're getting the second-largest TV market. I mean, you either love the Lakers or you hate the Lakers. You either love LeBron James or you either hate LeBron James, even though most of the LeBron haters were Lakers fans just because of their love for Kobe.
See?
And so, it's, you know,
habitual line stepper.
It's, no, but it's true. I mean, you can't disagree with me on that. You know it's true.
I know.
All right. So now JaVale McGee has also just reached a deal with the Lakers. So hopefully that means we should be pretty safe that Boogie Cousins is coming back to the N.O., coming back to NOLA.
I would
where
hope that's not the reason.
Yeah. But JaVale McGee just reached a deal with the Lakers as we speak as well. So another – signing for the Los Angeles Lakers as they've acquired four players in just one day today. Well, one of them they re-signed, and Caldwell Pope, bringing him back. But anyway, getting back to the LeBron story, for the NBA, this is huge from a global standpoint. It's huge from a domestic standpoint. I mean, when you talk about the Lakers games, you're going to see them on national television every week. It's Los Angeles. It's LeBron James. This is a big money maker for the NBA. It's a big money maker for the networks as well. And this is big. I mean, I don't know. Like I said, I'm a LeBron James fan, but I hate the Lakers, so I don't even know where I'm at with this one either. And but I hate the Warriors more. I'll just say that.
Yeah.
I absolutely hate the Warriors more. But yeah, this is definitely a big story, obviously, and I'm sure this is going to be a major topic of discussion in the sports world, probably for about a good week before this kind of quiets down a little bit, and as we approach NFL season here. So, I'm sorry?
Longer than that, because ain't nothing else happening but baseball and World Cup. Listen, mm-hmm. And so everybody signed their name on their free agents line. This is going to be long in a week. I'm just going to get everybody used to it. Don't get You're going to get oversaturated. You're going to be mad at it. But I think this goes longer than a week.
Literally, all I was doing was asking Rob how he's doing this evening, and he went to like a whole diatribe about, you know, the Lakers and all that fun stuff too.
Well, this is how I'm doing. This is the story.
it is a story. I didn't get a chance to start the show, but yeah, again, we're already in it. Clearly, really quickly, if you do want to call in, as Rob said that he wants to hear from you, Lakers fans. I don't know, Roderick, if he's going to call in, Rob, to see if he's going to check with us, or that's a whole other conversation, too. But, again,
he's the biggest Kobe lover and LeBron hater out there.
Let's go, Roger.
Oh, man.
Let's go.
So you got,
LA all day.
You got the number to call in, 424-243-9519. That's the number. Give us a shout. Follow us on Twitter, at the number 12, THMAN Sports. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/12man sports or talking sports with the 12th man. You will talk to your boys as well. I guess, as JQ said, we'll kind of get to these first couple of topics to kind of focus on what's been happening here. Really quickly, Russia, a lot of love for huge upset over Spain. Obviously, that's just one of those things, you know. Again, kind of interesting because, you know, they are hosting the World Cup here coming in the next couple of things, so we'll see how that plays out. So, Russia, you get a chance to have your team play in your home country. Pretty cool. So I don't know if you want to talk about that, Rob, or JQ. I don't know if you want to start with that one, Rob. I don't know. It's on you, bro.
Well, obviously, you know, this was the field of 16 here. And I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. JQ, are you going in?
No, go for it, bro. You great.
Oh, I mean, obviously, we entered the round of 16 in the World Cup, and, you know, Spain was one of the huge favorites, and actually Russia was the lowest seed out of all the teams that was here in the Sweet 16 of the World Cup. And so obviously a huge upset, but they were on their home turf and was able to get the victory. Spain pretty much outplayed them the whole match, even though finishing a 1-1 tie. And I mean, tell you, it takes forever for somebody to score in soccer. Man, come on.
Yeah,
I mean, Spain pretty much outplayed them the whole match. It ended in a tie. Russia got the win on penalty kicks, 4-3, and a huge win on their home turf. Upset one of the favorites. Like I said, they were the lower seed left in the field of 16. So, obviously, there's a huge upset. I don't think they're going to advance too much further, but they upset Spain, one of the favorites.
Yeah, I don't have a whole lot to add to that. I mean, if you're into soccer, that is a huge upset. And like you talked about, Spain controlling that match for the large majority of it. But that's soccer. If you don't put the ball in the goal, you let a team hang around. They can hang around, and there's no ties in this stage of the competition, ladies and gentlemen. We're penalty kicking.
That's the name of the game.
And Russia came out on top. You know, listen, I think it's going to be some home cooking at some point in here. I don't see Russia losing in the next round. I could be wrong. I feel like they're going to find a way. The momentum and home cooking and all that together. But like I said, if you're into soccer, I mean, huge. And I've gotten more into it with the United, so I'll give them credit for that. So I've been following this song, and yeah, that's massive. I mean, that's like Virginia losing to a 16 seed. Like, that's what that's like in the World Cup. Like, that's what it's really like in terms of that. If you want to try to gauge it, you're like, oh, these guys are just going over the top. Yeah, like, no, it's really just that big. So, you know, you can probably hate Russia. A lot of Americans probably do. They don't want to necessarily see that, but they found a way to beat Spain today.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Like you said, Rob, you said the point that too. You know, they Spain had outplayed the whole match, and then like I said, it always comes down to the last kick. Doesn't matter how you outplay, it always comes down to that final moment too. So they did just enough to keep stay in the game, and like you said, they made that move. But we'll see about how the home cooking comes into play too, man. So again, I agree with you, JQ. They may survive a little bit more here, but we'll see how it plays out. All right, let's keep going here because I know JQ was laughing about this. So we got to get through these first couple of topics here. Let's talk about Braves and Cardinals, man. A lot of love for the Braves again. Doing the thing with the nice beat of the Cardinals. Man, that's a pretty impressive first half of their 10-game road streak here, or road, you know, I think they're going to be going on the road here. And, road trip, thank you. And so this is pretty cool because I know they almost lost today because of the bullpen. And, again, I think this is one of the situations where they may have to. I mean, I hope that they're thinking about making a move, man, because I think this could be something serious here, man. I mean, the Braves doing their thing; they're just enough hitting, you know. But again, they may have to make a move to get a bull, some bullpen help too. So, what are your thoughts about that, JT?
Best record in the National League, the Braves.
Yep.
And listen, it's very rare that you will see me ecstatic as I was today to watch them hold on and beat the Cardinals, because I hate the St. Louis Cardinals as a Reds fan. And if I can get the Braves to help us out, yes, Lord, thank you. I agree. They need to make a move. But I think the thing that the Braves are going to look at doing is to see when they get Vizcaino back. A.J. Mitchell was actually got the save today, and he looks pretty good doing it. So if you get Vizcaino back, and now you feel like you have your eighth, ninth piece of it, I agree. You can't rest easy with him. Like, he's going to come in and be shut down. But he has enough stuff to be very effective, Vizcaino, that is. But they need some middle relief. If you can get the Atlanta starters to a high pitch count and get them out of the game in the sixth inning, you got to the eighth inning to get to one of those two guys. That sixth or seventh inning, you can do real damage to that Atlanta bullpen. And it gave them a 5-run inning to the Cardinals, up 6-0, allowed them to come back in that game. I was watching it. You know, they did enough to hold on to win. I appreciate them. Let's go Braves, at least for this weekend. And like you said, a massive 10-game home road trip, having to play the Cardinals, a very hot Cardinals team that they swept, and then having to go to New York and then finish up with the
New
Brewers.
York, yep.
You know, you're talking
Denver,
about.
Yep.
Yeah, you talk about
Robert
two first-place Dick. Teams and the Yankees and the Brewers. They got their cut out for them, so to speak, but it's a really good start to the road trip.
Yep. Rob, let's see the Yankees, bro.
Yeah. And obviously, you know, people in Atlanta have obviously got to be excited about this Brave team. They're a good young talent in first place in the National League, right there in contention. And after sweeping the Cardinals today, sitting pretty. Those Phillies, you got to think the Nationals still might make a run at some point this year, but you got to give credit to the Braves. They're sitting pretty right now.
Yep. Looking forward to this. This is a good test. It's really weird how we struggle against, like, the
Freddie Freeman.
No offense, you know. We struggle against the Reds, struggle against the all Orioles, and then for some the Marlins, then we beat up on the Cardinals and the good teams, man. So again,
hey, the Reds are playing good.
The Reds
are
getting hot.
The Reds are playing good.
I was going to say he left them out of there.
It was a knock. It wasn't a knock.
The Orioles,
too, just normally.
Orioles,
yeah.
I give you the Orioles.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
But the Reds are playing good baseball right now, and they thought the way I know he didn't include my Reds in the thing. You bastard, you Rob. Let me talk about my Reds. they split with the Brewers. And I'll take that. When you go through the Braves first place team and the Brewers first place team, and you end at 4-3, and I would take one game above 500 through that gauntlet. And it's the same one the Braves have to go through now with the Brewers and the Yankees. So you know you gotta find a way to play 500 baseball. Yes, when you play good teams. So I'm just gonna throw us in there.
Yeah.
But yes, I hats off to the Braves. They're playing really good baseball.
I wasn't trying to be a knock. I was just trying to say too. They just weren't. Their record wasn't as good at the time. So it's not like a knock. It's more or less too. But yeah. But they are playing well, and that's a good sign for obviously the Reds. After that first start, it was looking pretty bad too. So again, keep
it
going, man.
Still
we're
bad,
about that too.
Yeah.
All good.
Go ahead. No, I'm good. Go ahead. I just had to throw it in there.
No, it's all good. Hold on. Keep this going.
Uh-oh. Fall down.
Hold on.
Andre, you dropped the phone, man?
I probably fell down.
Yeah, I just unplugged my headset. Anyway, all right.
Oh, okay.
So we're going to carry on here. And let's talk about. So there's been a couple of moves that have been happening, and, we're going to talk about.
LeBron James has already talked to Lonzo Ball. Keep LiAngelo away from my stuff. Heard that fool be stealing.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
No, come on, man.
That's got to be a joke, man, right? Are you messing around?
Yeah, yeah, that's got to be a meme. Come on, man.
Got to be silly. That's funny. Key, that's pretty. Hey, there's been a couple of moves here.
Rob is on fire
right now.
Yes.
And I'm going to talk. I know we'll talk about, just really a small note, Kevin Durant resigns with the Warriors. We knew that was going to happen. I got to be honest, JQ, I did not see Paul George re-signing, and even you, Rob, I did not see Paul George re-signing with the OKC. I thought that he was dead set on going to L.A. So that's a pretty huge – thanks, Rob. That's a pretty huge move. And like you said, we were talking about it a little bit before the show, how, we're like, Lakers, they're not quite there, so how are they going to pull us off, try to get against the Warriors? I mean, so – That was a kind of a surprise. Wouldn't you say that as far as him re-signing with OKC?
Yeah, I think that's a huge surprise. I mean, I thought probably all three of us was pretty convinced that Paul George was going to be one of those pieces for the Lakers. And as you can see, from the way it looks as of right now, the Lakers are signing all these players to these one-year deals, Lance Stephenson, JaVale McGee, and Caldwell Pope. So they give all three of those guys one-year deals. So it looks like the only hope of getting another star is going to be for the trade for Kawhi Leonard.
Correct.
At the moment. Or they're banking on getting another star next free agent if they don't get next summer. LeBron James is signing a four-year deal doesn't even have an opt-out clause in it. So he's given the Lakers time to put together a team here. So they signed these three guys at a one-year deal here, and I'm going to assume that they won't be able to sign Big Boogie Cousins now because given these, unless they get him on the cheap, because
Rob,
of these
Robert
three
Quentin.
One-year deals that they just gave those three players. And so from the looks of it, you know, they missed out on Paul George, so this is the route that they're taking. Hey, and Magic Johnson say this is a two-year process. So they missed out on George. They get these three guys at one-year deals. Unless they can find somebody else again on a cheap or a one-year deal, this looks like the approach they're going to take. They're either going to try to get Kawhi Leonard in a trade, or they're going to bank on next summer getting that big star in free agency.
They bank on getting Kawhi next summer. Agreed, and I mean,
well,
it's very smart.
You're right. You're going to get him now or next summer.
Now or later.
And it's incredibly smart, and I was getting a little dark with Magic, like, come on, man, that's why we brought you in to be the closer. But getting LeBron is the ultimate piece, and you're right. If you feel like, okay, I'm reading the tea leaves, they can go over the cap to get Kawhi by trading for him. So, I mean, and again, is the market going to be probably not to get him next year because he's the big man that's coming off Achilles. That's going to take him about a year to a year and a half to look like Boogie Cousins again. To be quite honest, just because of the nature of the injury, and he's a big guy. So how much do you pay for him? I'm glad they won't overpay for Capella. I really feel like that was one I was worried about. Like, I like Capella, but I like Capella for the right price. And I think Houston feels the same way. He's got a specific kind of niche, but you don't want to pay that guy $20 million just for that thing that he can do in terms of rebounding and running the floor. He's got to be able to do a little bit more for $20 million. For me, and it looks like the Lakers are looking at it the same way unless they do something wild here and give him a contract. But I don't think they can now based off of the $12 million they gave KCP. They gave Lance like $5 million, and I don't know the particulars of the McGee trade. But that's $17 million right there for next year. So you're getting close to that, at least in the first year, which you would have paid a max star if you signed somebody else, depending on what McGee got. But just get back to Paul George, and I won't go over again because I think we were all surprised. But can we just say that Paul George don't like LeBron James? Like, I feel like that we should be able to say that, because if you look at Paul George, you say, okay, you got two options. You can go back home to L.A., which you've been telling people you're going to do, and LeBron's going to be your next star. And they've got a decent core, not a core that's the, you know, superstar field, but a good core of role players and young guys on rookie contracts ascending. Now you look at OKC, you got Russell Westbrook, no doubt. But then you look beyond that, yeah, Stephen Adams is okay. Carmelo Anthony is a shell of his former self. Robertson is coming off a bad leg injury. If I'm looking at from Paul George, if I like LeBron and I'm like, you know what, I want to play with him, I think I would side with L.A., those things being considered, comparing the Lakers roster to the OKC roster. So I just feel like he just don't want to play with LeBron. Either he don't want to, he don't be second fiddle, or he just don't like that dude. Because outside of that, if you look at the way that OKC is structured right now and the way the Lakers are structured, would you choose, the two of you, OKC over the Lakers right now?
Well, I think, I mean, it's a shocking move. There's no doubt about it, especially with the way the OKC ended this season. I think they lost to a team in Utah that had less talent than they did in the first round of the playoffs. I think it was pretty much a done deal that we all thought Paul George was leaving based on the way that season ended. Or maybe he feels like, you know, they didn't have enough time to build, to put anything together. Maybe he feels like they need more time. But I think ultimately it's a huge shock that if he knew LeBron James was going to the Lakers and him not signing with the Lakers, to me, I mean, you right there in contention for Western Conference Finals at worst going to the Lakers. I mean, like I said, you lost a team in Utah, in my opinion, with less talent. Donovan Mitchell was a special young player, but to me, that Utah team did not have Russell Westbrook and did not have Paul George on it. And so to me, they had less talent. I mean, they have Rudy Gobert, tremendous defensive player, just got awarded NBA Defensive Player of the Year, outstanding feat. You know, Gobert and Donovan Mitchell, but overall, I think that team had less talent than OKC, and you lose to them in the first round. So I thought it was pretty much a done deal. I think we all thought that, he was a done deal going to the Lakers and hoping they could build something around him. So it's a complete shock. I mean, it really is. I mean, I don't know if he, like JQ said, he hates LeBron or he's looking at the fact that LeBron James is 33 years old.
Well, my thing is, why go first? You know what I mean? Like, that OKC deal was always going to be there, right? Why go first?
Yeah.
Why not
wait
to
see
what's going to happen?
You
didn't even give it time to happen. Like, that OKC deal was always going to be there. And the other deals, they were like, okay, we feel like we got in line to Paul. Let's make him let him make his decision. Because outside of LeBron, Paul is the next big domino. So you're going to wait on either one of those two as a team trying to attract a quality free agent. Those two are the dominoes you're waiting to fall before you go into your fallback plan. As Paul George, I don't understand. Like, I just was saying, he don't want to play with LeBron. He don't like him. Or both. That why would you go first? Why wouldn't you not let him make the move and say, okay, he signed there. They haven't traded anybody for Kawhi, so they still have that core with LeBron. I can go there, man. We can be ridiculous together. Why not wait to make that decision if you just are like, you know what? I'm not playing with that dude. Period.
Yeah. And maybe there could be something where the Lakers are sold on Leonard and LeBron, too. So we don't know all the behind-the-scenes logistics.
Yeah.
But maybe that could be the two guys that the Lakers are going with. And maybe they could be looking at LeBron and Leonard as being their two pieces. Because prior to Leonard's injury, he was a top-five player in the NBA, and some would argue he was the second-best player in the NBA, even though I would have to say that's Kevin Durant. But, you know, some would argue that Leonard was the second-best player in the NBA prior to his injury. So maybe that's what the Lakers are looking at. The Warriors have got two of the top-five players in the game with Durant and Curry, and maybe with if they can get Kawhi Leonard back to that top-five status, maybe you can build the same thing with him and LeBron. So we don't know if that's what the Lakers were thinking. Maybe they didn't jump on board with Paul George. And, I mean, we knew 2 days ago that Paul George had narrowed his decision out on the Lakers and Thunder, and maybe the Thunders were the one that came through for him as well. So it could be a little bit of that as well. I guess we don't know all the logistics, but those are some valid points that I guess we won't ever know what really happened behind the scenes. I mean, OKC also got Jeremy Grant to come back with a 3-year deal.
Stop it.
As well, you get a role player to help him out a little bit.
Yeah,
they still got Carmelo Anthony, you know, who can't guard a statue on their team. So we'll see how that works out. And he opted in because he knew nobody else was going to give him that kind of money. So he'll be back on that team as well. But you know, we also got to look at the fact that there could be something too that Paul George and LeBron. I mean, they battled in the Eastern Conference playoffs for a long time, Indiana and the Cavs,
and the Miami.
Maybe he wants to have a chance to beat him finally, you know. So maybe there's, you know, maybe there's some of that. But I wouldn't be surprised though. Behind the scenes, the Lakers have targeted Kawhi and LeBron as being their two stars.
But they could have had all three. That's what I'm saying. I honestly they could have had all three because they could have went over the cap by signing PG and LeBron and trading for Kawhi. I really feel like if they had got those two, Kuzma and Ingram are more expendable if you've got Paul George and LeBron. You're more likely to include them in a deal for Kawhi once you got those two guys linked, you know, inked to contracts. I just feel like Paul George is like, you know what? If he going there, I ain't going there. And I'm pretty sure I've heard that he's going there, so I'm not going. I just feel like that's what happened. You're right. Those Eastern Conference battles when he was with Cleveland and with Miami, I feel like there's more to that that may never come out unless somebody gets real candid in an interview for no reason at all where he was like, you know what? I didn't want to play with that guy. I wanted to beat that guy. And I can't be mad at that, but I just feel like you said, Rob, that I think that's a good piece to it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Absolutely.
Interesting. All right. Like I said, well, I'm sure as this it develops, we'll kind of get some more details too, because like I said, I mean, both of them, L.A. had two max deal contracts to sign, so obviously LeBron was going to get one and Paul was kind of you know, up for the second one too. So unless something's going to happen too, yeah. Go ahead, Rob. Something you're about to say. Something.
You know, I'm still surprised that LeBron is even signing with the Lakers without a real commitment from another star.
I'm not.
Yeah. So maybe
you know why I'm not.
Well.
Let me tell you, because I was going to start my argument with this. You remember way back when LeBron first went to, I'm going to go with Joakim Noah, when he first went to Miami, what did Joakim say about him? They Hollywood as hell. Where did he go? He went to Hollywood. I mean, come on now. Like, when he bought the second house in L.A., to me, I got more assurance that may be the second. The second house to L.A. to me, when you're not currently a resident for no reason, you play for Cleveland, you're thousands of miles away. When you buy the second house and TMZ follows you to the high school where you're trying to maybe enroll your son there, who's got all the video clips about being, you know, he's a sensation, he's LeBron's son and whatnot, the second house means I'm going to do serious business in the city. I need this house here to be by the facility or by my, you know, Hollywood, the directing, the movie producer piece, but I need this other spot here because I'm going to do some other stuff for the team down this way. Like, when you get the second house in L.A., there's no reason to have two houses in L.A. You can do anything you want to with one if you plan to only be there in the off season. If you plan to be there year-round or 9 months out of the year, then maybe the second house makes more sense, right? Like, why would you get two houses in the markets you don't play in?
Gotcha.
Well,
there's
no doubt
that
the Lakers at some point – There's no doubt that the Lakers at some point is going to get another star.
Yeah, at some point. That's all good. All right, welcome, Carl. We got a caller. Tell us your name and tell us really quickly. Welcome to Talking Sports with 12th Man.
Yeah, hello?
Hey, what's going on?
Yeah,
I would like to talk about that new Yankees trade. You know who the Yankees are looking to get? New Yankees trade. The new Yankees trade. It's only the biggest guy, and you got to go with Michael Jackson. I mean, I think he makes.
Okay. Yeah, no, bro.
Don't
call back in with that foolishness. That's just some bullshit. Don't call back in with that. Please shut that dude off. What the fuck?
He's off. Here. All right. Anyway, so let's keep it going here. So that was pretty quickly. And all right. So Trigger has no heart. Again, if you're calling the show,
come on, MCA.
We gotta have some serious
don't
sports.
Give MCA.
Some serious, seriously. All right. So, anyway, I had a feeling about that, too, but anyway, that was a fun, man. Anyway, all right.
Love it.
So, just really quickly here, because a couple of things here. I know we're going to – Rob, you're going to say something. Go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off with your thought, man. Go ahead, bro.
Oh, I was just going to say, yeah. I mean, those are all valid points about the house in Los Angeles. But I think, you know, obviously he realizes that the Lakers will get another star. I mean, they are the Lakers. This is just what they do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is just what they do. They were able to get Kareem Abdul-Jabbar from the Bucks after he won a championship with the Bucks. I mean, he won a championship with the Bucks, and the Lakers were able to get him right after he won a championship, the same year, same offseason. And so this is just what the Lakers do. They acquired Magic Johnson. They acquired Shaq in the signing trade. They acquired Kobe in the trade with the Charlotte Hornets. This is just what the Lakers do. They're able to attract stars to the organization. It's La La Land, it's Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
And so obviously LeBron has faith that if it's not this offseason, no later than next offseason, they're going to have at least another star. And he's got to look at the standpoint, they have some young players that are capable of being stars too.
Yeah.
And so I think LeBron sees that as well. He sees the potential in it as well. I mean, so to some degree, you wonder why he would go to L.A. now when Philly might be a better chance for him to win immediately. But I think it's Hollywood, you know, having that playing for a team with the mystique. And he hasn't been with an organization with this kind of NBA history. I mean, he went to Miami, which basically was an expansion franchise in the late 80s. Cleveland had never done anything prior to him being there as well. So now he's going to an organization with some history, with some mystique. And it's probably where he's going to end his NBA career. And, I mean, like I said, this is just what the Lakers do. Going back to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, even going back to George Mikan, the way they acquired him as well. So this is just what the Lakers organization do.
One last piece of it is, if you want to be honest, when we felt like LeBron was getting energized was after the trade deadline, that team that he thought he was getting in Cleveland when they were getting Clarkson and getting Nance and getting Rodney Hood, I feel like he's getting an upgraded version of that with going to L.A. He was really excited about those moves when Cleveland made them, and they kind of got out to a good start, then they faded away where guys like Clarkson and Hood didn't do what they were supposed to do. And it's like, dang, I thought I had a younger athletic team, somebody that could have the ball. Now you look at when he goes to the Lakers, he's like, maybe that team I thought I was getting in Cleveland, I actually have now with the Lakers with a Kuzma, with an Ingram, with the ball. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he might see that as a way to get rejuvenated. Like, I finally got the team I thought I was getting in Cleveland. I'm signing with that team in L.A. And so I think if Cleveland had had those guys been up to par and they had shown better in the playoffs, in the finals, he might have been more apt to stay with Cleveland. But once they faltered and he was like, oh, where can I go and get that same kind of team where it won't say, oh, well, he had to go to Simmons and Embiid to win. He had to go to Boston. He had to go here to win. He can, if he helps the Lakers do that with that team they have, and he's still the guy, and fulfilling all those Hollywood dreams that we all know that he has, it's, to me, it's a no-brainer for him in that aspect. So that might be a piece of it. Like, I'm older, but I get younger by going to this team.
Hey, really quickly, we'll be here, and we're going to talk about a couple things, too. We got about 14 minutes here. I said, wasn't going to say, the really reason why LeBron went to the Lakers, and this is – I think Cleveland, you want to blame J.R. Smith, first and foremost, because without J.R. Smith, this doesn't happen, man. So, again, just want to throw that out there because J.R. Smith is the reason why LeBron is playing for the Lakers.
Yeah.
All right, let's keep this going.
You
man.
Knew when that happened. When J.R. Smith made that move, you knew LeBron was going to seal the deal.
Gone.
Oh, man. That's the whole reason why. J.R. Smith. Oh, man. I'm kind of joking. I'm kind of serious, man, because I think that whole move, man.
That's a very valid point. Yeah, as a matter of fact, before we got on the air, I said that was also a reason. I was just talking to someone else about that, that was actually a sealing fate for LeBron James as well. I thought that contributed a lot as well.
Wow. I agree. His reaction in that in between they went to overtime where he asked about the timeout, that 3-minute camera angle they showed, and the way he was so distraught, I'm with you, Rob. I was like, yeah, man, you go ahead and clean out the locker. He gone.
Yeah, and let's be real. Even if the Cavs would have won that game, which, you know, for various reasons, J.R. Smith officiating, they lost the game. Even if the Cavs would have won that game, I still believe the Warriors would have won the championship. It was just, you know, the Cavs could have possibly won one or two games in that series if it wasn't for that. And but, I mean, the Warriors were the better team regardless. And but still, I think that had also contributed to him leaving as well.
And those young guys just didn't play well. They didn't play well in the playoffs. Like, I hear what you're saying. If you watch them play in the playoffs better, I think he'd be like, you know what, another year, another growing. But Clarkson and Hood totally destroyed his ability, his want to re-sign with Cleveland. He was like, man, if we got these contracts and those guys going to play like that, we don't have a chance. I believe those two guys, outside of Jeff, for sure. I totally agree with you on that, Andre. That we can laugh about it, but I feel like that's really real. Like, don't discount that in the fact of it. But if those two young guys he thought that he was going to get had played somewhat to the way they had been playing before they got to Cleveland, I think it would have made it much more of a difficult decision for him.
Yeah. And this is the first time a player in NBA history that led the NBA in playoff scoring, which LeBron did this playoffs, leave their team in free agency. So it's first time in NBA history. LeBron had he was the playoff leader in points. Leave his team to go to another team after being a playoff leader in scoring. First time in NBA history.
That's right. Good call. Go ahead, Dre.
All right. We're going to have
we're going to kill that topic.
We have so much to talk about. We're going to keep going. I just want to ask a couple questions, too, because there's a couple of ramifications that this signing has had. And we're going to talk about the other side, too. So let's talk about, you know, the whole thing with there's been some reports about Boston willing to trade Kyrie Irving for Kawhi Leonard. Now, again, this is one of those situations, too, if you're kind of looking from both angles, I don't know if it's going to go down. I don't think it will go down. If you're Boston, as we talked about it, you're only going to get like a one-year player. Now, if you're Boston, you know, you want to check with the psyche of Kawhi to say, all right, I mean, because they're like literally one piece away, guys. This could be a huge move if they can pull this off.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, they're kind of like swinging for the fences, but you do want to kind of get in the head of Kawhi to say, hey, how do you feel? But I still think it's – I don't know. I mean, this offseason has been really crazy. But what do you think about that, Rob? Is that something, too? Is this like – is there kind of like legs for this trade, or is this kind of like just kind of for the kind of like whatever, throw it out there? What do you think about that?
Well, if you're Boston, you got to wonder what they're thinking here. I mean, they got Jaylen Brown. They got Tatum. They're going to give Gordon Hayward back. And you want to add another forward? You're going to start a team with all small forwards? I'm just like scratching my head here. Well, what are they doing? What are they thinking? I know Kawhi Leonard is a phenomenal basketball player. Like we said, prior to his injury, he was clearly a top five player in the league, maybe top three, top two, depending on who you ask. So obviously you're looking at a special talent prior to his injury. But why have all those small forwards on your team? If you're going to package a trade, why not package one of those small forwards for him and you know, maybe get some picks or some offer some picks or something like that?
I know
Boston was extremely impressed with Terry Rozier.
Ready.
And they were really impressed with the way he ran their offense in the playoffs. And they're wondering about, you know, can Kyrie Irving stay healthy? So I do know Boston was, you know, very impressed with Terry Rozier. But, I mean, Kyrie Irving, man, we've seen him come up big in the playoffs with clutch shots. And so I'm not ready to put Terry Rozier in that category just yet. Even though he played very well on both ends of the floor for the Celtics here in the playoffs, I still don't think that makes Kyrie Irving expendable. So if I'm the Celtics, I think they're out of the mix in this Spurs deal. I think it's going to come down to the Sixers, and it's going to come down to the Lakers when it comes down to making a trade. And the Sixers have already said that Markel Fultz, Ben Simmons, and Joel Embiid are all untouchable. And but, you know, Greg Popovich has a relationship with Brett Brown, the coach of the Sixers, used to be one of Popovich's lead assistants. So who would you rather trade Kawhi Leonard to? The Sixers and his friend, or his rival in the Lakers? Now, I know a lot of this, you know, for the Sixers, you got to be wondering, is Kawhi going to be willing to sign a long-term deal with this? So that has to have a lot to do with it for the 76ers as well. But if you're the 76ers, it's a gamble that you might be willing to take if you're not going to trade Simmons, Embiid, and Fultz, similar to what OKC did with Paul George this offseason, last offseason.
Oh, how much time do we got, Dre, before?
You got 7 minutes before the
okay.
Go ahead.
Yeah, not because I'm going to take 7 minutes. I just know that me and Rob may have a back and forth. This is why I would say that you do, okay, because you have a valid point about having all the small forwards. But if you trade Kyrie for Kawhi, that's a one- or two-step dance I think that Boston does. And this is why, because you can get Kawhi more often, more likely – a one-for-one kind of trade with Kyrie and maybe a little something thrown in behind it without having to give up Tatum and Brown in that deal. So now you bring Kawhi back and you say, okay, we've given up Kyrie. We're going to re-sign Rozier. Now we can trade Gordon Hayward to somebody else with maybe a smaller piece of it and get another piece to supplement it. I don't think you go into the season if you're Boston with those four of them. But if I'm looking at it like I want to keep my collection of assets, okay? So I love Tatum. I love Brown. I like Rozier. I still really want Smart because of what he does. What can I do to improve my team? We've proven we can win without both Kyrie and get Gordon Hayward. Okay, we see that. Now, what can I use to get the most back in terms of the most bang for my buck? I can give up one player in Kyrie and maybe a fringe player or a pick and get Kawhi back without having to give up a team with a Brown who are younger and then more stuff because Kyrie still, like you said, has the greatest stature in this league. So if I'm giving you Kawhi to get Kyrie back, and I'm, if I'm Boston, I'm giving you Kyrie to get Kawhi back. Okay, now I've got him. Now I can trade Gordon Hayward, who I'm looking to trade more often than not, let's be honest, because I like Brown and I like Tatum. But I know San Antonio is not going to go one-for-one for me for Gordon Hayward and Kawhi. I can get Kyrie and Kawhi in a one-for-one, but not Gordon Hayward. So I make that trade. And then my second trade is to give Gordon Hayward for maybe some picks and another role player or something here and there to kind of offset that glut of small forward. So it's about maximizing who you have without giving up a ton of assets. That's what I think Boston is doing. One for one for Kyrie, for Kawhi. But now I'm looking at, okay, now I got that happening. I can trade Gordon Hayward. Maybe not before the season starts. I got to let Gordon Hayward play. I got to prove to people he can play. He's back. Now Gordon Hayward looks like Gordon Hayward. Okay, I can trade Gordon Hayward and keep Tatum and Brown on those rookie deals and unload that massive contract I just gave Gordon Hayward and get some back. It's actually very smart by Danny Ainge if he's able to do both of those things.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know Danny Ainge is one of the best GMs in the business. So, I mean, obviously, I'm sure he has a plan. But, I mean, that's going to take a lot, I think, to pull all of that off. And I know it's all possible, but I think that's going to be a lot for the Celtics to be able to pull off. And, I mean, come on. Well, you know, Terry Rozier and start three of those small forwards and Al Horford and bring one of those small forwards off the bench and play ball.
Are you going to get a shooting guard or another? And hopefully you hope that Robert pans out from Texas A&M. But you have a trade chip, a very good trade chip in one of those three. But you don't have to give one or two of those up to get Kawhi. That's why I say that you can go almost one for one in that trade and then play and bring up the trade value of those other three guys and say, okay, now I can get one of those guys and get a really good haul. So to me, it's about management of assets. If I can go one for one in this deal and then let play these other three up, I only did one for the one or one for multiple with another team. Now you're looking back at both of those trades, like I gave up two players and I got back four, or I got back three and two first rounders who won the trade season. Danny Ainge won it, if that happened.
And I can see that. I think the thing we got to realize, too, in this day and age in basketball is really positionless basketball.
Yeah.
That's really what more and more the NBA has become now. It's really positionless basketball. And, I mean, really now, if you even look at the Lakers, so you got LeBron James, you got Ingram, and you got Kuzma. So, I mean, you're practically playing positionless basketball these days in the NBA. And I think it started probably with the Miami Heat, with Bosh, Wade, and James. Yeah, I think that was the trend of positionless basketball. And so that's where we're going now. And we saw it. I mean, basically the Celtics moved Jaylen Brown to the shooting guard spot with Tatum during the playoffs. So it's really more positionless basketball. So that is definitely very possible.
Yep. All right, we got 3 minutes here. I will say this really quickly. And we can talk about this now. We kind of go into, but I do want to say, because we talked about the ramifications that this move has made. Gentlemen, we're going to talk about other free agency moves, but what about the East? What's happening now that the shift in power has? It's kind of like, is it wide open? I mean, again, you know, Boston is there, but tell me kind of that one move. I mean, what do you think is going to be like really quickly? We've got about 2 minutes and 47 seconds here, so before we set up the OT portion, so I'm going to throw it to you, JQ.
Let me go.
Got to be brief.
Yeah, let me go first.
Go
first so Rob can finish it up. I don't think it's wide open. I really don't. I feel like Toronto is who we thought they were. Crown them. And so Washington shows me with that backcourt and getting Rivers as a nothing move. Really, it's about Philadelphia and Boston for me in the East.
Okay.
Old school NBA.
Why not? Yep.
Okay, cool. Rob?
Yeah, and I totally agree with that. But I think if Boston is healthy, they're the team to beat just because I think they have – more players, they have more pieces that they can work with. Philadelphia's got two big stars. They probably have two bigger stars than Boston has, but I think Boston's collection of talent and depth puts them over Philadelphia at the moment. I think Philadelphia needs to add a few more pieces, and obviously they've lost out with on LeBron James right now, so they have to come up with their plan B to figure out how they can improve. They need Markelle Fultz to really step up and be a number one pick next year if they're going to take that next step. But it's old school NBA. I think we're going to see Boston and Philly for the next 4 to 5 years battling out in the Eastern Conference. It's going to be old school NBA. But I think Boston is slightly ahead of Philly right now. Philly has to have a couple of things need to happen, as I just mentioned. Fultz needs to go back. He has to play like a number one pick. And Philly has to get more assets to catch the Celtics.
Minute 17. Set it up for the OT, Rob. You got a minute 17.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been a power-packed show. We still got more to come. We're not finished talking about NBA. We got to talk about how stacked the Western Conference is now, with LeBron shifting from the East to the West, and how the Western Conference shapes up now going forward. We just talked about the East, maybe down to two teams, and also Rams, but the Western Conference is stacked, and now we might have to go to 1-16 seeds. We talked about that before.
Okay.
And so we'll talk about that, too, a little bit in our OT portion. So you don't want to miss it. Click on the same link on tomorrow. We still got more NBA, and we got a little teaspoon of NFL for you as well. So you want to click on the same link tomorrow. Unfortunately, we can't give you this portion of our show live, so we'll have this information on our OT portion. So click on the same link on tomorrow for this info. Next show is going to be on Tuesday night. It's going to be on Tuesday night, July 10th. We're going to come to you a little bit more than a week from today, about 9 days, Tuesday night, July 10th at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific. I know everybody on the West Coast is listening. So once again, that's going to be Tuesday, July 10th, 8 p.m. for our West Coast listeners in Los Angeles, in the Bay Area, in Portland, in Seattle, everybody on the West Coast. Thanks for tuning in. Good night, people.
Hey, hashtag Late Show, hashtag Go Reds. Loving life today. I'll see y'all next week.
Hey, we're officially out of the OT. We got you. All right, so we're having fun here, and like I said, JQ is just like you're just in the best place right now too. So let's talk about a couple things here. I know we kind of hit on a couple things as far as what's happening with the East, and I know we said that's definitely we got Philadelphia, we got Boston. I was just throwing that out there because obviously those are the top teams. I know it's not totally wide open. I still like we got to talk about. How you guys feel about Milwaukee? They're going to make some moves here, obviously, getting Budenholzer. Mm. And then as well as Indiana, too. I mean, they're still, Victor
Oladipo.
I like
the holiday pick.
Or they, they picked up. Yeah, I mean, so again, I mean, they're not quite there yet, clearly. But, I'm kind of curious about Milwaukee. And we'll talk about kind of what's happening, too, with the West being just completely stacked right about now, too. So let's talk about some more moves here. And just a quick update as far as what's happening in the free agency world. Obviously, we know about Chris Paul re-signing with the Rockets, but they lose Trevor Ariza. Rob, I don't know if you want to kind of give a quick recap of what's been happening too, as well.
Yeah, I'll give a quick rundown across the league here. Obviously, you just talked about Chris Paul going back to the Rockets on a 4-year, $160 million deal. Actually, got more money than LeBron James. Gerald Green stays in Houston with a 1-year deal. Big blow losing Trevor Ariza, even though he could not knock down a 3-pointer at all against the Warriors in that Game 7. He was throwing bricks, building 10-bedroom houses with those bricks he was throwing up in that Game 7. But from an athletic standpoint, from a defensive standpoint, he was a big factor of what they did in Houston. And obviously, he was, for the most part, guarding the best players on the opposing team on a night-in, night-out basis. So that's a big blow. We'll talk about that here just in a second. Do we think Houston is still the second-best team in the West, or do they drop down a little bit by losing Trevor Ariza? So we'll give our thoughts. We'll give you a little tease and give you our thoughts on that here in just a second. So that's definitely a big blow. He goes to Phoenix on a 1-year, $15 million deal, playing with those young guys in Phoenix that had just gotten the draft. And, a couple of guys that he got coming back, and Booker and Josh Jackson. DeAndre Jordan signs a 1-year deal with Dallas, leaving the Clippers. $24.1 million deal. We all remember he signed committed to go to Dallas a few years ago and then reneged and went back to the Clippers. And so he is going to Dallas this time around. DeMarcus Cousins is still out there. Might be the biggest name left now. So we'll see what's going on. He's supposed to be meeting with the Pelicans and the Lakers today. And also, they were saying the Wizards were a wild card from getting in the mix with DeMarcus Cousins on a possible signing trade with the Pelicans. So we'll see what goes on with that. Pelicans reached a 1-year deal with Elfrid Payton today. Obviously, going back to his hometown in New Orleans. So hopefully, that doesn't mean we won't get Rondo back, because we need Rondo, too. Let's see here. What else we got? Ed Davis signs a 1-year, $4.4 million deal with the Brooklyn Nets. An underrated signing, Brooklyn re-signs Joe Harris, who was one of the more underrated free agents. They were able to keep him in the fold with the Brooklyn Nets. Denver obviously signed a few of their big free agents, Will Barton and Jokic. Jokic got a 5-year, $148 million deal. Will Barton got a 4-year, $54 million deal. And Denver is one of these sleeper teams that just missed the playoffs last year in the Western Conference, and they're going to be in that mix, and we're going to talk about how the Western Conference stacks up now here in the free agency here. And Denver is one of those teams. Aaron Gordon gets a 4-year, $84 million deal with the Magic. Doug McDermott, underrated player as well, goes to the Pacers on a 3-year deal. Eastern Ilyasova goes back to the Bucks on a 3-year deal. Fred Van Vliet, a very good shooter for Toronto. He remains in Toronto on a 2-year, $18 million deal. Nick Stauskas goes to Portland on a 1-year deal. Glenn Robinson III goes to Detroit on a 2-year, $8.3 million deal. And the Spurs is keeping Rudy Gay, and they were able to bring Marco Bellinelli back in the fold. That's an underrated loss for the Sixers, too,
mm-hmm.
Bellinelli. He was a very good outside center for them. And he's going back to the Spurs. So those are just a quick update on some of the free agency news today.
Like you said, I like Bellinelli and Rudy Gay going back to the Spurs. Listen, I know you don't want to hear it. I know you don't want to hear it, Rob. But where they're smoking, there's fire. These guys get together. We don't feel like it's going to happen until it happens. That Kentucky, John Wall, DeMarcus Cousins thing, I think is a really, really big thing. You talk about trading Gortat to the Clippers to free up that spot down there low for DeMarcus Cousins. And Austin Rivers, I think it was just something they took back. You know, he's not going to be anything for real. Unless Wall and Bill just fall out. But I can't see him pushing down for minutes. I really.
But you
got to
realize how close Boogie Cousins, Anthony Davis, and Rondo is too, and that's that Kentucky collection right there too. And actually, they call the Pelicans Kentucky South.
Yep, but the West is a lot different than the East. So,
but
it's
true. That's true.
That's the, I mean, that's a different.
I still
animal
think all roads lead to DeMarcus staying with the Pelicans, though. But, you know, we'll have to wait to see if it's official, though.
That's wishful thinking.
I'm not
keep it going.
I can see that. No, I'm not saying it's wishful thinking on his part. I really think the Lakers were always a fallback option, and now they've gotten LeBron. And like Rob has astutely pointed out, they're filling up that secondary max roles that we're going to have with a lot of one-year contracts and eating into that. So they're really not probably going to be able to resign him through a free agency. Their best bet, and I think that's what they're banking on, is you can go over the cap with getting Kawhi. So I would agree with him that you remove DeMarcus from L.A., so it's either the Pelicans and who else. And when I see the Wizards make that move to get rid of Gortat and clear out the five or the four, if you want to put Mahimi in the five and put Cousins at the four, that to me looks like a bit of a precursor, and it might be wishful thinking on Washington's part. But the way the stars line up and the rumblings that I've heard for a while that Wall and Cousins wanted to play together. So that to me is the one that stands out to me. All the other ones, I like Van Fleet standing in Toronto. He was really good for them. I think that backcourt needs that. They need another person to come behind them. But the other ones, outside of the big guys moving, are not moving in the course of PG staying in Oklahoma City and LeBron is moving to L.A. Those other signings are, that's great. But DeMarcus, if he is able to come back earlier, then I think he's able to come back from that Achilles, and he goes to – if he stays in New Orleans, they see him or Rondo. But if he goes to Washington with Wall and Bill, they throw a little bit of a monkey wrench into that East. I just don't think that Greek has enough in Milwaukee. I don't think Oladipo and those young guys in Indiana are yet to really challenge Philadelphia and Boston. But I feel like Washington, and I've been talking about Washington for a while, wondering why they have not been able to get over the hump. If he goes to Washington with that,
you've been talking about Washington as much in the NBA as much as you've been talking about the Bucks in the NFL.
Yes, I have. I agree.
I mean, we just talked about it. Right now in the Eastern Conference, it's Philly and Boston. If those two teams are healthy, it's down to Philly and Boston. We have to see how Markel's future is going to grow in Philly in the full season. And, they lose Bellinelli, who was a key Ben Simmons in that drive and kickout game. That was huge. And that's a big loss. I mean, I think that's quite a big loss for the Sixers. But they have the cap space to really go out and still get some good players. They have the money. So that shouldn't be a problem for the 76ers. So we're going to have to wait and see what they're able to do here going forward. And Simmons and Embiid are both still on their rookie deals, which was one of the things that really helped the Warriors to get to where they are today, too.
Mm-hmm.
And that is something to think about with the 76ers. But you look at that next tier teams in the Eastern Conference, you got to talk about the Bucks with the Greek Freak. The Wizards will still be in that next tier. And Toronto will still be in that next tier. And I'm going to, watch Detroit, too. Give them a full season of Blake Griffin and getting Dwayne Casey there. And what's the big man?
Andre Drummond.
Watch them as a next-tier team in the Eastern Conference. Watch the Miami Heat as the next tier in the Eastern Conference. And then, of course, the Indiana Pacers. Indiana Pacers are also going to be in that mix for that next tier in the East Conference. But they're going to be next-tier teams, but Boston and Philly are the two teams to watch.
Nice.
Yeah, that's a long shot in Detroit. I will give you Washington. I will give you Miami. I will give you Milwaukee. I will not give you Detroit. I will give you Indiana because they gave Cleveland everything they wanted to, but I don't trust the Pistons. They got a lot of dudes that feel like they're better than they are.
Gotcha. All right. Jim, we're having a good time here. Let's kind of – it's all good. We're kind of wrapping this up, too. The interesting topic that was before this show was, did the Lakers make a mistake in trusting Magic Johnson? And now I think that was
the obvious answer there is no. They didn't make a mistake.
Yeah. Because, this is what – we brought him in to make that happen. So, yeah, JQ, what do you think about that, bro?
Listen, I will own it. I texted my guys on this call, like, come on. This is why GD made the move. When Paul George re-signed with OKC, we hadn't heard from LeBron. It was getting real dark in Los Angeles early. And I know they got the smog, but it got dark early even outside of the smog. I was sitting there like, come on, Magic. You got the cap space. You actually now can sell more than L.A. You've got a good young nucleus. If you don't have to give it all up for Kawhi right away, that you can attract, you should be able to attract some free agents. So getting LeBron, the biggest domino free agent in this market, is a huge win for Magic Johnson. Because convincing him to say, hey, I don't be afraid of this legacy. It was me. It was Kobe. You already got three outside of us, but you can come. And if you do it here, like doing it there, doing it in New York, like those places, if you do it there, you're a legend. No matter. You already are a legend in Cleveland. Now you can be a legend in three different cities. And one that maybe is arguing with the hated Celtics in terms of the best story in the NBA, great move by Magic. But again, like we talked about the other pieces, I think it's a two-step process. Like he talked about, Magic has owned. You got to get him, and you got to get somebody else here either this year or next year to go with this young squad you've assembled. So you got the first one. And I honestly, I'm not mad. If he's got, look, he's Magic Johnson. And you can talk about tampering and everything else you want to talk about. He knows what's going on. He might have already known that Paul George wasn't coming in. You know what I mean? Like, we were trying to, but he was, not feeling LeBron. Okay, I still value LeBron over Paul George. So I do it after that. Okay, I'm not real sure about DeMarcus Cousins and his Achilles. I'm not sure if we can get Kawhi, but we can always keep the lines open. But what I can do is get LeBron with this nucleus, like he talked about, filling out that secondary max spot you had with one-year deals, and look up next year and say, okay, now we got LeBron with these guys. You've seen what they've been able to do. These other guys, I will fully renounce them and let them walk away to sign Kawhi right out or whoever else is available at that point in time. So it could be Kevin Durant. I mean, he signed a 1-1 with Golden State. Not that he's going to do that, but you give yourself that flexibility if you're Magic. So Magic having a fantastic day.
There it is. Rob?
Yeah, I mean, you got to give them, credit, and they were wise. But all these other signings to just go out and sign them at 1-year deals, that still gives them the cap flexibility next summer. And like I said, we never know what's going to happen with Golden State. Durant and those guys could fall out. Maybe he don't want to play again. There were some rumblings that they're not really getting along that great this year. So who knows? So it gives them that flexibility to be able to be. Having some flexibility next offseason. You get all of these guys, JaVale McGee, Caldwell Pope, Lance Stephenson, they all will be back free agents next summer. The Lakers will be right back in business to be able to sign a max player. Either that be Kawhi Leonard signing them outright, maybe getting into a conversation with Kevin Durant, as JQ just mentioned. There are going to be some free agents. I can't remember the entire list from next offseason. But there are going to be some guys down the market. So not quite sure what Cousins is going to sign with the Pelicans. I know it's going to be a short-term max deal, whether it be a two-year deal with an opt-out after one or whether it be a three-year deal with an opt-out after two. So we don't know what kind of deal he's going to get. I do know it's probably going to be a short-term just to make sure how he comes back from this Achilles. He's going to have the flexibility again next offseason.
Oh, sorry. One more thing that I forgot about. That's very important to come out next offseason. That Luol Deng contract comes off the books next year. And that's the one that's really killing them. They were able to get rid of the Mozgov contract by trading him to Brooklyn with D'Angelo Russell to get rid of that contract, but they haven't really had a taker to get rid of that Dane contract, which is also something they were talking about. If they get a second contract, they would have to kind of wave and stretch him. So if you don't have to do that this offseason, now you're going to offseason with all those one-year deals, and Dane comes off the contract under normal circumstances, and I believe his contract is for like $18 million a year. That's a big number to take off the contracts, books. Big number.
There it is. There it is. All right, gentlemen, I know we have literally spent a lot of time talking about free agency stuff, so I'm going to let you kind of wrap this up. Anything else you want to talk about just for the free agency update? Throw it to Rob, and then JQ, you'll end it up, and we'll talk about Jimmy, and then we'll wrap up the show. Go ahead, Rob.
Well, I think the only thing I would like to just kind of see how the Western Conference stacks up now. Obviously, free agency is not over. I mean, this is just day one. I mean, we don't know what kind of role players are going to help which teams going forward here and where the chips may fall with Kawhi and Leonard. But I think as the teams are constructed right now, I mean, where do we stand in the Western Conference? Obviously, the Warriors have only lost JaVale McGee, but I don't think that takes them out of number one spot. And so for me, obviously, they're still the team to beat. How far do the Lakers climb just by getting LeBron James? Does Houston drop a little bit with losing Trevor Ariza? I actually think they do. And I think they could easily drop at least one spot in the Western Conference. And you may think I'm a little biased here, but to me, the way the Pelicans finish the season, and if Boogie and Rondo comes back, I think they're the second-best team in the Western Conference as the teams are constructed right now. Where does Utah go now with Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert? Where does OKC go now with getting Paul George back as well?
Minnesota.
But I think Houston falls down at least one notch to the number three spot without getting Trevor Ariza back as of right now.
We'll see, Rob.
Well, you're forgetting about Minnesota. I mean, they still got Jimmy Butler and Carl Anthony Towns.
True.
And maybe they still got a really nice squad too, flying the radar. And you talked about those Nuggets. I think it's way too early right now to rank them. That Western Conference is loaded. It's way out of control.
NBA's got to go back to considering that 1-16 team, because you might have 10 teams out of the West and 6 teams out of the East that deserves to be in the playoffs. So this is when you got to go to that 1-16.
No, I'm not going to agree with that. You know I'm not going to agree with that, because it swings every couple of years. But the only thing about Houston is that for Houston, they lose Ariza, but I think they thought they were going to lose Ariza. But if you look at their standpoint, DeAndre Jordan signing for $24 million, LeBron going to L.A., Paul George staying in Oklahoma City, all these other signings, it makes their path to re-sign a Capella for maybe not a stupid amount of money that much easier, because where does he go? Where are his landing spots where guys are going to use up their cap space for him? So for Houston, it's very good what's happening right now to be able to re-sign Capella. For what they want to do and the way they want to play, he means more to Houston than he does to any other team, to me, and Capella. If you're getting Paul back, you're getting Harden back off of MVP season, yeah, you're losing Ariza. I think that's a really substantial loss you have to take into consideration. But you still got getting P.J. Tucker back. And if you can get Capella back and you can kind of play that game and say, man, if I can keep Chris Paul healthy, I still say they're the 2 seed in the West. I think LeBron in L.A. still is a 3 right now, unless they just defy expectations. But all those things you talked about, we didn't even talk about Portland. With Lillard,
we didn't even
McCullough.
Talk about the Spurs if Kawhi Leonard comes back.
Right.
Yeah.
That's how crazy
the Spurs keeps Kawhi Leonard, they could easily be the second best team in the Western Conference.
No.
That's a big if.
Not with him
and Aldridge.
They were the second best team in the Western Conference prior to Kawhi getting hurt.
If Kawhi is healthy, and it's Kawhi, even with LaMarcus Aldridge, which the Western Conference has gone through this past 2 years, I would not put the Spurs as the 2 seed. They're at best the 3 seed, and that is a high ceiling for them. I just don't believe so.
Well, you know, Portland, have they gotten any better? And they got swept in the first round of the playoffs.
Yeah, that's true. But
if you
ask me to put my faith on LaMarcus Aldridge, then, yeah, you got another thing coming. As your number 2 star?
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
Portland,
mm-mm.
The way it's constructed, I cannot see them being a top 4 seed. I mean, they got swept in the first round of the playoffs, and they got swept by an ascending team in the West, and I can't see them still being a top four team in the Western Conference.
I'm not saying that. I'm just talking about in terms of the Western Conference. I would give you Golden State. I think everybody would agree that Golden State is one. I would still give Houston their nod as being number two. That 3-8, bro, is crucial in the Western Conference. Like, it's crucial. If y'all resign Rondo and Cousins with the way AD was playing and if Holiday plays like that, y'all could be challenging number two or three seed. If you lose a couple guys, you might be the sixth or seventh seed. Like, that Western Conference is so ridiculous right now that we forget teams to even talk about, was my point of the whole thing, that it's one through nine strong. Like, super
strong.
Because
you got Denver in the mix. You got to keep Denver in the mix. I mean, Denver is a team that won 47 games last year, or 46, somewhere in that ballpark, and didn't make the playoffs.
On the last game of the season.
Yeah.
Like, it went to the last game of the season with them in Minnesota. Like, that Western Conference is crazy ridiculous.
You got to think the Clippers fall a little. You got to and then.
Yes.
So you got those nine teams, and now you add the Lakers in the mix. So now you got 10 teams that are capable of making the playoffs in the Western Conference. And you knock the Clippers out. So all eight teams still have a shot. I mean, the one team that could drop drastically could be the Spurs. But, you know, the Spurs made it to the playoffs as a seven seed last year without Kawhi Leonard. And they still got Greg Popovich as the head coach. So you would still have to think that they would be in the mix. Although I think by the time they got to the playoffs, the Spurs were the worst team in the Western Conference that made the playoffs.
Yeah, fair enough.
By the time the playoffs started, they were the worst team in the Western. So they could be that team without Kawhi Leonard that really falls off, and the Lakers move into that top nine and the Spurs fall out of it. But a lot of that depends on what's going to happen with Kawhi Leonard. So, I mean, as of now, the way every team is constructed, you got 10 teams in the West that's capable of making the playoffs.
Well, I'm going to say right. nine because they're going to get rid of Kawhi. He's gone.
Fair enough.
You got to get something for him.
All right. All good. All right. So before we wrap up, this is a topic. It's all good. Before we wrap up, this is a topic I definitely want you guys to consider for next week, okay? Think about this, all right, because we're going to talk about a lot of things. But we've talked about the Lakers, and there's a couple of things I still want to talk about that are kind of under the radar. One thing is Isaiah Thomas and also the possibility of Kemba Walker, okay? So think about that as we go, because I've heard about some things about that for you next year or this year or that too. That's a dynamic move, right? Isaiah Thomas, he's still recovering from that arthroscopic hip surgery, whatever.
He won't be back.
No. I know he won't be back, but I'm just saying that that's an interesting piece, right? And
but Kemba Walker quietly is something to watch because he wants out of Charlotte.
Yeah. Yes, he does.
And the Lakers could consider that move as well. So that
I would
that
like
is,
that move.
That is
saying,
that,
in mind.
That's a very quiet move that could be that could take place because he definitely wants out of Charlotte.
I would say no on Isaiah, but depending on what you pay for Kemba Walker, I would say yes.
Yeah, I'm just throwing that out there because, you know, you heard some rumors and that may be the other piece, too, as far as, you know, why he's making that sign. And then you start getting those players, too, because, you know, Kemba, he's an explosive player. So that may be another missing piece that you add to Lakers squad. That can definitely help you, too. I know that Isaiah is still dealing with his things, too, but he's, you know, like I said, I just want to throw that out there as well. All right, guys.
He's done.
I know he's done. I'm just, again.
Cleveland,
have been
smacking themselves for trading Kyrie Irving for Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah, that was just, all right.
Yeah.
Let's wrap this up real quick. Wrap this up here. Let's talk about Jimmy Garoppolo and the 49ers here. The question is, as we wrap this up, can he lead the 49ers to the playoffs this season? And I'm going to go on the limb and say yes because the way the offense runs. Kyle Shanahan. Yeah, I mean, Kyle Shanahan, man, I think that he's been in Atlanta too, man. So, again, without any catastrophic
injuries. That don't
mean
he can be successful because he's been in Atlanta.
Oh, my God.
That's not what I'm saying. I'm liking the offense. I'm liking the fact I'm not saying that it's freaking pine. It's not, I'm saying that, so I think that, you know, it's definitely a possibility, you know, again, because they definitely played well.
You're biting on
a lot
all
of confidence
that Bay Area stuff, man.
Yes.
I'm just telling you. I'm just saying the point,
man. Sorry, man. Go ahead,
Andre. I'm just saying the point, man.
No more. Okay, Rob. Okay, so we talk about the NFC, right? So let's talk about the AFC South. We talk about Atlanta. Yes. Talking about New Orleans. Yes. We talk about the NFC North. We talking about Green Bay. Yes. We talking about Minnesota. Yes. We talking about the NFC West. We talking about the LA Rams. Yes. I mean, where is their path to the NFC playoffs? Where it's just like, yeah, they're getting to the NFC playoffs, and whoever's going to win the AFC East, like, no, they're not going to win. They're not going to the playoffs. One of those teams are they going to knock off? Which one of them?
So they have like, are there like five teams that, what is the stat, like four? There's like almost like four new teams that make the playoffs each year. Is that like something that's, what's that
it
stat,
Rob? It won't be the 49ers.
Yeah, okay.
Unless somebody gets hurt.
Yeah, like I said, I'm not saying that it's totally out of the question by any means, too. I like the offense. I think, like I said, there's definitely a possibility that happened, too, because they played well last season. You know, they definitely played against a great Jaguar squad. But again, like I said, I'm saying it's not totally out of the question. I see what you're saying. NFC is very strong as well, too. But like I said, I do think
Philadelphia.
The way
that
they're
talking. Philadelphia.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got you. 100%.
I named
100%. Yeah, I got you. I mean, like I said, I'm not saying it's totally out of the question. I'm not saying it's like freaking, you know, I mean, it could be like they're like 9-7 right outside looking in. But, you know, definitely they could definitely do some damage, you know. So, again, that's all I'm saying. But go ahead. JQ, say your thing too, man.
Go ahead, Rob. I named six.
I'm gonna meet you guys in the middle, kind of in the middle. but I don't see the 49ers being that playoff team next year. So I agree with JQ on that point. I don't see them being that year. I think you're going to see Jimmy Garoppolo having a little bit more of a learning curve this year. I think, mm-hmm. obviously, with film, teams have more film study on them and things of that nature. So I think he's mm-hmm. going to be challenged a little bit more this coming season. But I think you're going to see the 49ers progress a little bit more this year. But I think they're going to just miss the playoffs. I think you're going to see some improvements out of them. You're going to see them somewhere in that 7-9, 8-8, 9-7 at best this coming mm-hmm. season and miss the playoffs. I do think they will be knocking on the door for future purposes going forward. But mm-hmm. I don't think it's going to be this year. I like Garoppolo's potential. I think he has a chance to be a franchise quarterback, and we saw glimpses last year when they went 5-0. But I don't think, for the reasons that JQ just mentioned, I don't think it's going to be next year because of how stacked the NFC is. And I think he's going to be challenged a little bit more this year. And then the following year is when you're going to see him make that big, when he makes his biggest leap as a starting quarterback in the NFL. And so, you know, JQ just mentioned you got the Rams, who's going to be there. And in the NFC Central, you can make a case for the Vikings, Packers, and the Lions, mm-hmm. and you can possibly see mm-hmm. the improvements out of the Bears, a lot of moves that they made this year, too.
No.
I said improvements. I didn't say playoffs. I said improvements out of the Bears.
Okay,
so let me get
that
straight.
Yeah, okay, I give you that.
Yeah, and then, you know, the NFC South, you know, obviously you got the Saints and the Falcons, you know.
And the Panthers.
I personally think the Panthers are going to fall off a little bit this year. But they still have Cam Newton as the quarterback, so you got to think they're going to still be in contention as well. The NFC is just stacked. So I think there'll be a team that'll be ascending. They'll be knocking on the door, but they're just not quite there yet.
So I'm sorry, Dre. I'm sorry. When you say playoffs, when I hear playoffs, and you say, yeah, maybe, that's what I'm like, no. Can they be on it? They've got like a 15% chance. So I named the guys that I think that are going to be there. The Rams, I think the Packers and the Vikings, the Falcons and the Saints, and the Eagles. Those are my six. So now you're talking about I need one or two of those guys to fall off. Now they're battling the Lions, the Panthers, but you hate to say it, the Cowboys, and then the 49ers. So you got those four teams on that just outside looking in, hoping to get over each other and having one of those six teams I just talked about fall off.
Yeah.
That to me is a lot to get into the playoffs. That's why I say
don't discount
no playoffs.
Yeah.
No, I'm not gonna count Seattle. They've got old on defense, and I honestly think San Francisco can be the second team in the NFC West behind the Rams. I really do. I honestly do. But I'm looking at the other three divisions in terms of the four division winners and two wild cards. When you talk about the NFC South, which is ridiculous. And if Aaron Rodgers stays healthy, we know what Aaron Rodgers can do. you're talking about the Vikings, what they've done, and the Packers, and they still have the Eagles in the East, and then the Cowboys still have a really good offensive line. They could bounce back and get back in that conversation to go from 9 or 10th to 6th or 5th for the 49ers, what I'm looking at. That, to me, is like a 15% chance. So, when you say playoffs, no, I can't go with that. Do I think the 49ers can be better than a 5-win team? Absolutely. Can they win 7 or 8 games? They absolutely can. But is that enough to get into the playoffs in the NFC? No, it's not.
Yeah. And the Packers will be a team to really watch, obviously. Well, there's a couple of things there with the Packers. Aaron Rodgers' health. But from a free agency standpoint, they might, if on paper, they have improved probably more than any team in the NFC from a free agency standpoint. Well, outside of the Rams. I mean, the Rams,
yeah.
Obviously, we all know what they did. Outside of the Rams, the Packers probably improve the second most as far from a personnel standpoint, from a free agency standpoint in the NFC outside of the Rams. So, I mean, that's a team you got to think about, too, the Packers and the Rams. And then you got to think about what the Bears have done in free agency, too. But I don't think the Bears are a playoff team yet, but they could also be one of those teams that's a little bit more competitive this year, too.
Mm-hmm.
And you're looking at Mitch Trubisky going into his second year as a starting QB as well.
Listen, that Chicago defense played really well this
yep.
year. They just didn't have an offense. With that Chicago defense, you thought you was playing Chicago, playing a bad team and starting your good players in fantasy, and looked up like, damn, they didn't do shit against Chicago. Yeah, that Chicago defense is actually pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. I saw them play the Saints and held them to 20 points, even though they lost. But, you know,
uh-huh.
they held Saints to 20 points in that game.
Mm-hmm. Pittsburgh, too. And I think and Jacksonville, if I'm not mistaken. Like,
mm-hmm.
that Chicago defense is actually better than you give it credit for.
Mm-hmm.
Wrap up the show, Rob.
Yep, and only going to be better this year.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, Andre. My bad.
Wrap up the show. Wrap up the show. Go ahead.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it was a pleasure talking sports with you all this evening. Hopefully you all enjoyed the show. Make sure you write us via Twitter and let us know what you think about the show, if you agree with some of our comments or disagree with us. We're going to be back on Tuesday night. I believe that date is July 10th. Once again, it's going to be Tuesday, July 10th. We're going to come to 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for our people in New York, in Philadelphia, and Boston. We're going to come to you at 10 p.m. Central Standard Time for everyone in Austin and New Orleans and Chicago and Indiana. And then for our
mm-hmm.
Mountain Time Zone, we're going to come to you at 9 p.m. for everyone in Salt Lake and Denver. And then, of course, in the West Coast, L.A., San Francisco, Oak Town, 357, get loose now, 8
Mm-mm.
p.m., we're going to come at you.
Come on, man, not be NGB.
Too short.
Go ahead.
Everybody in Oak Town. Blow the whistle.
You are ignorant. Go ahead.
We'll talk to y'all later. Good night, people.
Wow. I'm sorry, Andre.
MC Hammer.
I hope
you
forgive me.
What? No, I'm sorry.
Well,
no,
because I hate San Francisco, but I honestly was like, no, they don't really have a chance. But I didn't mean to be quick nature with you,
I'm
sorry.
It's all good. No, like I said, I think there's improvement. And like I said, that's good points, man. So that's all it is.
Okay. Hey, appreciate all y'all. 2 weeks, I will be going to an all-star trip. I'm so looking forward to it.
Annual trip?
But, yeah, well, whatever, Mr. Guam and everywhere else you go to. I appreciate y'all for listening to the podcast, downloading it, and listening to the Overtime Experience here with us. I appreciate it. Yeah, I am super crunk. I don't know what's going to happen here with the Lakers this year. I'm not crazy. I'm not one of those crazy fans like, oh, we're going to win the title this year. We got LeBron. That's not true. They might have to do some other things. They probably have to do some other things. But for me as a Lakers fan, I am super stoked. That's the first download that's fallen down for us. We'll see what happens after that. And hopefully we'll have one within this week so we can talk about it on Tuesday. Holler at y'all. Good night. Be safe.
Yep. Where's the Major League Baseball All-Star game this year?
Washington, D.C.
Oh, D.C., nation's capital. All right.
Yep. Yes, sir.
Be good.
I will do the whole 95.
Yep.
I will do the whole 95 corridor. I'm going to go to the Mets game on Friday, drive down to Baltimore on Saturday, take the Baltimore Orioles and the Rangers, and then on Sunday I'll be in D.C. from Sunday to Tuesday.
All right, man. I want to see you on Fox News during the baseball as president.
Yeah, oh no, no, bro, I'm good. I ain't trying to go to jail. All
right.
Oh, man.
Don't have too many brewskis, man, to do something crazy like that.
I was 41 years old. I have command of my faculties. I do not go down and act a fool like that.
Nice. All good. I'll be in Vegas on July 4th,
ooh,
so 4th through the 5th. So I'll be DJing on the 5th. That'll be fun. So we'll have some fun, man. So we'll talk about that too, man. So
we need video.
Any bets? Now's the time, huh?
No, we need video.
Yeah,
we need video.
Oh, no,
we got to have some video for the 12th Man Sports website and Twitter. We got to have video from Vegas. Like, really?
Oh, yeah.
Vegas?
You've lost wages. Don't lose all your money, Jay.
Yeah. I don't do any
We need the pool party video. We don't need the actual pool party video. We need the video where you were DJing where everything was still copacetic. And send us that.
Okay. Yeah, I don't want to get in trouble, too, because, again, I got to make sure that I got to hopefully the company, yeah, I'll try to get a quick one in there, too, because I got to make sure that I'm not signing any type of legal alleys and like that, too. But I think I'll be good. So, yeah, I'll get one in there for you. So, yeah, it should be fun. I'll be at the Flamingo, and then I'll be staying at the Caesar's Palace. That'll be fun. So, yeah, that'll be fun, man.
Caesar's Palace is nice,
man.
So, that's how the high rollers roll.
Man, listen, I'll get them, Dre. Go get them. I'm proud. I just want to see the video you can post.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we'll see. I'll see if I can get away with that too. But all good. We'll talk, man. Have a happy 4th, man. Juneteenth, all that fun stuff, man. We had some fun times. But till the next week, till the next show, we will talk to you guys soon, fellas. It's been fun. Congrats, JQ, on big news with LeBron and everything like that too, man. Should be good to see play your Yankees, Rob. So we'll talk about that too in the week, man. So good times. Good times for sure. And we'll talk soon, fellas.
Yes, sir. Have fun, man. Be safe.
Good night, people. Yep.